Father, we are again here. Again, Lord, we are in the familiar place. We've come to know you, to learn of you, to live with you, to love you. And so, God, again, we settle into this place, not as strangers, but as family, as those who are quite familiar with your ways. We've come to hear. We've come to learn. We've come to be lifted. It is good for us to be here. We need your gospel. On this day that we celebrate our mothers, we pray the same prayers that we pray each and every day of our life. Draw near. God, come closer. Allow us to enter into the sacred. Allow us to sit at your feet, to hear your voice in first person. Draw us nearer. Is there a word from the Lord, we ask? And we know the answer is yes. God, we know you long to talk to us. Each and every time we come to this place, we are reminded what Grandma used to say, that just a little talk with Jesus will make everything all right. And so, God, make us better for preaching. Make us stronger, wiser, with more endurance for preaching. For when we have heard from you, then, Lord, send us that we might claim the lost, strengthen the weak, heal the wounded. We need this gospel. Help me, Father. For I have discovered I can't help myself. I need you every hour. And every hour I need you. Now, Lord, this people, look on us. Meet us in the place that we can't tell nobody we are. We sometimes live in shadows, live in disguise, but you know, Lord, you know. And while we're right there, Lord, can we tell you thank you for not telling nobody? Thank you for keeping our secrets. The world knows the glory, but they don't know our story. My neighbor doesn't realize what it took for me to get here. And God help me, they don't know what I got to go back to deal with. So, Lord, I need you today to keep me from losing my mind, to keep me from following foolishness. Talk to me, God. Help me, Father. I can't help myself. I need your gospel. And Lord, while I'm right there, would you just one more time forgive me for my sins? I'm trying to do better, but I'm not there yet. A little more grace and mercy will help me get through. As I declare that you are the Father, I'm just your child. I need you today. In the name of Jesus. And the redeemed of the Lord said amen, amen, and amen. Come on, put our hands together. Come on and bless the Lord. Not a lazy praise, but an emphatic praise. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. Amen. God bless you. Grab your Bibles very quickly. The Gospel of Luke in the 11th chapter. Luke chapter 11. Just a verse or two to set us on our course for this short run to the finish. Luke chapter 11, verse 27 of the New Living Translation that I have before me today. And again, whatever version you have with you, God bless you for that, and pray that you do join with us, regardless of whether or not it's New Living Translation or King James or whatever you choose. It's all right. You got your Bible. Amen. My aunt Ruby was a hoarder. She kept everything. And she had an old Bible that was handed down to her by my Aunt Hattie. Never met my Aunt Hattie, but I reckon it was something to that. The Bible was raggedy. The pages were falling out. They were no longer white. They were all marked up and such. And I guess my Aunt Hattie didn't have good penmanship because the lines were all scribbly. She'd written stuff in the borders. But my old hateful Aunt Ruby, we so used to calling her that, it came out. I'm sorry, Holy Ghost. But my Aunt Ruby would not part with that Bible. She carried it everywhere she went, and whenever you said, open your Bible, Aunt Ruby would look at it and say, ain't no looking over here, it's well used. And I want to tell you that whatever you have, as long as you make it well used, amen, you got your Bible. That's your Bible. Amen. Next time I go home, I'm going to have to find out what they did with that Bible. Aunt Ruby's gone. I'd find that Bible. Amen. Luke chapter 11, verse 27. This is an interruption. This verse, that's what I love, Minister Dean, about the gospel writers. They wrote it just like it happened, according to their memories. In any other place, some sophomoric modern-day Christian would have told this woman, you out of order. You done cut across Jesus. But look what she did. The verse comes to us as she cuts across Jesus, and it says, as he was speaking, a woman in the crowd, a woman of no significance, probably had not even joined the local assembly. Certainly she wasn't a part of the synagogue. She couldn't be. Just yelled out at Jesus, God bless you, mother. The womb from which you came, and the breasts that nursed you. He replied, but even more blessed are all who hear the word of God and put it into practice. Amen. You may be seated. Just two verses, and ushers, God bless you. Thank you, Jonathan. God bless you, Audrey and Brother Stacy. Just two verses. And from these two verses is really a catalog of preaching. If you are to read, and going back to actually the introduction, what happens in chapter 10 and into chapter 11, and read what's happening. Again, the writers are so interesting to me because these guys were not like court stenographers. They didn't walk around with a little thing in front of them, you know, trying to keep up with everything. But they settled down years after Jesus had been resurrected, and they wrote. But this is an interesting story because Jesus is talking about the evolving of ministry, and he's talking about building character and how to deal with stuff. He's not saying anything really in particular about my moms or anything like that. You know, I've often said, preachers, y'all know this to be so, there's not really a Mother's Day in the Bible. There's, you know, it's not, Mother's Day is a secular holiday invented by those Hallmark people, again, like Valentine's Day and all that kind of stuff, to make money. That, you know, Mother's Day, Again, one of our presidents thought it was nice to say, you know, honor mothers. And he really should every day. But this, you know, Jesus is not really standing there talking about moms. He's not. In fact, when you read it, there's nothing to make this woman do this. I mean, you know, spontaneous things in churches happen all the time, and all of them aren't good. But she just yells out at him, "God bless your mama." That's the way she would have said it. "God bless your mama." And then she throwed in some heavy blessing and the breasts that nurtured you. You know, my grandmother used to say, whenever children act crazy, they say, "You know what's wrong with him?" And then she'd say he was a breastfed baby. See, they thought that, you know, when you was on the breast, you know, it did something to you. You know, some of your mama crazy oozed out into you. You know, that kind of thing. That's what they would say, stuff like that. You know, Sister Laura, tell them, down south, we say stuff like this, you know. And people say, child, you sure right. You can see the difference. You knew the one that was on that store-bought milk versus the one that was on that mama's milk, see. You know, but she yells out at Jesus, "God bless your mother." Oh, come on, it ain't come down to that already. Sister Antrim didn't empty it. I thought it'd be empty when it came back. And here it is. The issue for us today is we need more folk to do this. I like her. I don't know her name. I like her. She yells out in the crowd, "Baby, bless your mama." That's how she'd have said it down south. "Baby, bless your mama. You come from good peoples. Our mothers ought to be blessed." I ain't going to take long. This is easy. Y'all deserve more than y'all get. Amen. Y'all ought to be mentioned at the rising of the sun and the going down of the same. Nobody got here without a mama. You know, every year when Mother's Day comes around, that radio station start playing that famous "I'll Always Love My Mama, She's My Favorite Girl, You Only Get One, You Only Get One," you know. And we be sitting there, "Oh, mama." And some of us ain't even called our mama. "She's my favorite. Ooh, mother's love is so special." Yeah. Now, the Boys and Men version is all right, too. I like Boys and Men. In fact, I thought about it several years ago. Crystal came over and played Mother's Day for us, and some of the young people helped us sing the mama. So you remember when you did that, Crystal, years ago? Oh, Father. Well, let me blame you for some other stuff. But mothers are not. And I wrote this word down carefully, and I didn't want to say worthy of blessing, but that's kind of where. But y'all get cheated, you know. And we gotta stop cheating our mothers. You know, we don't do right by y'all. And I think, no, I've got testimony to it. I've got testimony. No mother should ever go unnoticed, unrewarded. Mothers ought to be lifted up and have ticker tape parades and all manner of holidays ought to be declared to your honor. When Mary got pregnant, you know, the angel of the Lord says something to her, and her reply is simply that, "Whatever you say, let it be so unto me." She'd never been a mother before, but I thought about that. Every time Mother's Day kind of rolls around, I think about her declaration. Young girl she was, and all of the stigma, all of the shame that is coming to her, she says, "Whatever you say, God, so be it. So be it." And now this lady comes along. Probably never met Mary. Didn't know nothing about her. Probably heard about her once or twice. But she said, "Baby, bless your mama." And that's what I really want to tell y'all today. Y'all ought to bless y'all mama. You can't get here without her. And the Bible I read says you're going to cut your time here if you don't do right by her. Bible says, honor your father and mother, and your days will get long on the earth. Not in the earth, because a whole lot of folk going to end up in the earth. Everybody going to end up in the earth. But when you look at your mother, what do you see? There's two questions, two more. When you look at her, I hear people say all the time, oh, if I can bring my mama back. Now, see, sometimes when I hear folks say that, I have to think to myself, how did you treat her when she was here? Some people want to bring mama back so they can love on her some more. Some people want to bring her back and say, I'm sorry. That's why they tell you, you give folk their flowers while they live. You go by and sit on the porch and put up with them while they live. So the first thing I want to say, some of us ought to say, I'm sorry. I didn't, coulda, I shoulda done better. See, coulda comes after you realize shoulda missed this moment. Yeah. Woulda comes when everything is too late. And some of us ought to say, I'm sorry. She has given you everything. Some of us have the audacity to complain about what mama didn't do. Mama did what nobody else could do. She birthed you. Mm-hmm. And by my calculation, the lady that brought me here, she got carte blanche. She can be as foolish as she wanna. Because if she had aborted me, I didn't have a chance. There's a song, Tupac says it, and it's, you know, it's an interesting church service when Tupac get in the sermon. But Tupac says, because we can't birth nobody, can't bring nobody here, we don't have the body to bring nobody. How dare we tell a woman what to do with her body? And what I'm saying is, many a young lady has made a poor decision because some sorry rascal didn't want to stand up for her. I've seen it, y'all. And what I'm telling you is, you ought to bless your mama because she could have got rid of you, but she didn't. She could have aborted you or abandoned you, but she didn't. And for that level of service, she's worthy of your blessing. Amen. You ought to tell her, mama, you know what? You done what nobody else could do. And that matters sometimes because, you know, none of us agree all the time. None of us agree all the time. Anybody that you know that try to tell you they agree all the time is a sucker. Amen. Because I tell you right now, if the Lord had showed up at certain times of my disagreement, I know I was in trouble. Mm-hmm. But I want to tell her, thank you. I want to tell her that I appreciate that she didn't abandon me. She didn't know how I was going to turn out. Let me see if I can get a quick survey. Got only one or two more questions here. How many mothers remember the day your child was born and you thought of all that maximum potential and all of those probabilities, and a whole lot of that went right out the window. And you said to yourself, you know what? This can't be my child. At the hospital, they switched him up. You know, some of us right now ought to go and request DNA tests on our children and say, you know what? I just need to know for sure because this one here broke. Something wrong with this one. This child fall down all the time and can't remember nothing. And I know some of y'all praying hard right now. Saying, Pastor, you saying everything I want to say today. But you know, you just hung in there. And there are three things. And the first one is that we bless you for conceiving us. It's a noble thing. It's an honorable thing. To have a child. I put a note right here that says Jess going to have something to say about this. I told you. You know, most women, Jess going to have something to say about this, want children. See, I knew this was going to happen. But the reality is not everybody qualifies for motherhood. This is old school. Just because you can have a baby don't mean you're going to be a good mother. Good mothers are rare. Good mothers are trained to be such. Now, I'm going back, Laura, but my grandmother used to take all the young mothers and train them. My great-grandmother did. They taught them how to do hair, taught them how to cook, you know, taught them how to do first aid, and told a woman how to walk, how to sit, how to cross her legs, how to put a dress on. This, you know, they were training. I remember many a days sitting there on the stoop, and young lady would walk by, and my grandma said, "Come here, baby, let me help you." You know, they didn't know how to hold a baby right or do little stuff like that, and they trained all the time. And young ladies would say, "Thank you." You know, you have to learn how to be a mother. Don't just have babies. You got to be a mother. And so we really are very thankful that those of you who have done very well are our mothers. Let me see if I can get around the corner here, Eric. How many of you have ever looked at somebody else's mother and said, "Thank God that ain't my mama"? Mm-hmm. So when you look at them and say, "Thank God that ain't my mama," then run home and tell God, "Thank you that this is my mama." Amen. When I was a little bit younger, and I had the opportunity to get close, I would just hug my mama spontaneously. And she said, "What's this for?" And I said, "Just because you my mama." And she pushed me away and said, "What have you done?" You know, because there's generally something coming, you know. But we ought to realize that there is a certain level of comfort that we get from our mothers. And this is kind of where we are. You care for us like nobody else does. I remember times in my life when my mother's words would echo in my head. She was nowhere around, but I could hear her call me, "Michael." You know, I'd look around to see, but I know she cared for me. And whenever I needed something special, before I had a wife, I would always go to my mother. And they accused me, "Miss Dean, of being a mama's boy." I think about that now. Ain't nothing so much wrong with that. No, ain't nothing. As a matter of fact, you know, if Sister Mitchell is to leave me or something like that, I'm going back to my mama. If my mama's still here, I'm going to go back home and get in my room, because I know she's going to feed me. She's going to wash my clothes. She's going to make sure I'm all right. She going to call. She ain't going to let me miss nothing. We're going to watch The Young and the Restless together. I think I might just take a little vacation. She cared for me. And she cared, part two, without compromise. My mother used to always tell me, "There's no love like a mother's love." My mother would sacrifice for her children. And she would tell us that. She said, "Listen, y'all don't know what I had to do to get y'all daddy to do thus and thus. Y'all don't know how I worked them jobs and got up early and caught the bus and my feet hurt and I can't," you know, and it was because she cared and she didn't compromise. That's why we owe y'all more than flowers, more than a box of chocolates. We ought to say, "God bless you, mama." And then the third little piece to it is that I'm so thankful that she cried for me. And no tears like a mother's tears. I think Dr. Dixon, that a mother's tears gets God's attention. I think when mothers cry, heaven slows down. And God pays close attention to that. Crying mother. I'm reminded of the Golgotha scene where there is our Christ. And there is his beloved disciple. There is his mother. And he offers her consolation in another, because she has cared for him, because she conceived him. She has cried for him. He doesn't want her to be alone. And so there are two things, and I'll leave y'all to go and do what you must. I think that every child today, this is not about male child or female child, because mother is universal to both. But I think every child in this room, every child who has an opportunity, should show their gratitude. And I don't think you should limit it to the second Sunday in May. If your mother's not with us in memorial today, I know that you have some very fond memories. But if your mother's alive, while your mother is alive, you ought to show her your gratitude. Now, again, this is not about the Hallmark card or the FTD florist and stuff like that. But there's a certain level of genuineness that is expressed in gratitude that is unmistakable. You can't buy her love. You know, and I think most mothers would tell you that the flowers are not really what caught my attention. The candy or the dinner date. But it's your presence. It's when I heard you say you love me. It's when you hugged me. It's when you sat with me. I know you wanted to be with the fellas. I know you wanted to do something else, but you sacrificed for me to sit here with me on a Sunday or a Monday afternoon. You went to church with me. You know, that's how Mother's Day used to pack the church. Folk would come to church with their mama. And my pastor was like me in some ways. He'd make note of it. He said, I haven't seen some of your gentlemen here. I want all of the gentlemen who are here just cause of mama to stand. He'd do it, you know. He had a voice like that, you know. And he said, it ain't just fellas. Some of you young ladies, you gals. You know, you say gals down south. And they don't get offended. And sure enough, the church would be three quarters of them would stand up. And he said, well, I know we won't see you next Sunday. So I'm going to declare Mother's Day next Sunday. You know, he'd do stuff like that. But it is our gratitude. And so we can't say thank you enough. I got up early this morning, woke my mama up. She tried to act like, you know, she had some kind of way about it. But I wanted to tell her that I thank her. Because she, you know, brought me here. I can wake up. I can come preach to y'all. So I thought I ought to tell her thank you. And I went down a little list, you know. I kept telling about all the little things, and I heard her get quiet, so I know I had her then. I said, you ain't crying on me. It's I'm gone, boy. But you can't tell your mama thank you enough, so show her your gratitude. And don't just wait for the second Sunday in May. And then the last thing I'll say to you is this, and it's a free ride on Mother's Day, is that your gifts ought not be gifts of bribery or gifts to bargain or barter. They ought to bless her. Now, what that means is this woman cries out to the Lord, you know, God bless your mother. I want to ask you today to do yourself a favor. This is not for me. This is for you. Do yourself a favor. And every day for the rest of your life, be a gift to your mother. Think of some kind of way to bless her. Some mothers will tell you, you know, you don't have to do a whole lot. It don't take much. But maybe you ought to call more often. Maybe you ought to come by more often. Maybe you ought to serve her more often. But for the rest of your life, kind of be like this woman. Every now and then, just spontaneously, Just yell out, God bless you, mother. Surprise her, shock her, stun her. Don't give her a heart attack. But the gift that you give your mother ought to come because of your gratitude. It ought to be genuine, and it ought to be about grace. Let me tell you a little bit about grace. In the Christian church, we have learned that it is the unmerited favor of God. But there's another version of grace that I think in the heavenlies applies to mothers. And you ought to show her that grace. There's a thing called graceful, graciousness. And I think that our mothers, being the wonderful ladies that, and a lot of you in here right now, wonderful, wonderful mothers. I was sitting back there, Brother Davis, and I thought that you had a daughter I didn't know about. I saw Sister Laura sitting there looking all young and fashionable, got a little fancy do, you know. But I thought about how April and Ashley love on their mother. I looked over and I thought about my own wife and her and Candace even though they carry on like girlfriends, she honors her mother. Thought about that. I looked around at the Richburg girls, and I admire how they love you. Your daughters are just tremendous. I thought about Jasmine and Raven, and I looked around the room, and I thought about Audrey and Sister Penn. I just kept looking around the room, and your daughter's with you today, and Aaron and Maxine. You'd think Aaron and Maxine were homegirls too, but there's something about relationship. And I looked at Crystal and how she takes care of her mother. And I said to myself, Pastor, you got some good daughters here because you got some good mothers here. And so, ladies, today is not just your day, but every day is your day. And we want to make it graceful. You can count on us because you conceived us. We didn't get here all by ourselves. You cared for us. You comforted us. You were compassionate. You didn't compromise. You cried. I've made my mother cry. I know I have. And I tried not to, but I know in the secret moments you've cried for all of us. You wanted your children to be better. You wanted your sons to be more manly. You wanted your daughters to be more attractive and ladylike. So sometimes for the days that we miss the mark, we will say to you today, I'm sorry. Some of us are going to have to pick up the phone and make a phone call. Don't procrastinate. And let me tell you something. No matter what has happened in your life, your mother don't owe you no apology. There's an old South saying, Sister Laura, you tell them this one, that mama ain't never wrong. She might miss the mark a little bit, you know, but you can't put yourself in her place. You got to honor your mother. Sometimes you just got to walk out the room and let mama finish, you know, just don't say nothing. Oh, you know you right, but don't say nothing. Let mama think she won again. Just go on about your business because you're not supposed to raise up on mama. Just let her go on and talk. Say, okay, mama, I'm going to go now. Yeah, I'll call you a little later. All right, honey. Yeah, all right. And then you have a little talk with Jesus. He'll make everything all right. But we just want to tell you today that we thank God. God bless your mother. And that's your instructions for the rest of this life, to bless your mother. There's a greater glory coming. There's a greater glory in blessing your mother. I am convinced that there are no prayers more powerful. Prayers are wonderful, but there's something about a mother's prayer. And so we thank you again today for being just as wonderful as you are. And my prayer is that when you further yourself in this day, that your child, all of them, all 8, 9 of them, or 2 or 3 of them, or 1 of them, will treat you like the queen that you really are. It ain't about whether you lift a finger or cook today and none of that kind of stuff. Sometimes it's better that you cook than let anybody else cook. As Miss Dupree used to say on the Tom Joyner Morning Show, I got the gift and I got to use it. So if you can cook, don't let nobody mess up a good meal. Amen. Burning rice and sticking peas. No, let mama cook. We just, when she finished, we'll just relax together. But we want to tell you thank you. And we want to love on you because there's a greater glory coming. And whatever we don't do for you on this side, the Lord will remember. And so God bless every mother. I thank God for you today. I'm going to get out of here and take care of my mother. I send her some flowers and all that kind of stuff, you know, and send a little piece of change. You know, Miss Laura, you know what a little piece of change is. We send a little piece of change. And she told me, boy, you didn't have to do that. I said, I know. But let's do that for our mothers. Let's love on them. Let's bless our mothers. You all have a wonderful day. I'm done with you. Time for y'all to go and time for me to go. I'm going home and cook because I know how. I'd love to invite you, but you might say yes. So, no, I'm not. Father, we thank you so much. It has been good for us to be here. We just wanted to say a little something to our mothers on behalf of our children. Thank you so much for giving us mothers. There may be those who criticize Eve. There may be those who don't understand those two mothers that warred over one child. One mother's child is deceased during the evening hours, and yet she steals another. But it is the sacrifice of the mother who says, go ahead, you take him, rather than cut him in two. We may not understand that kind of, we may not understand Hannah. Some may criticize Rebecca for pulling a deceptive act to get one child favor over another. But Lord Esau turned out all right. Some may not understand how it is that Bathsheba can go through life, hold her head up, but some may not understand. But Lord, you made mothers. So from Eve to Mary and Elizabeth, Hannah, Sarah, all in between, thank you for our mothers. Teach us to love them and to show our gratitude. Teach us, Lord, to be grateful, to share the grace and the glory, to share the gifts, to press our way through the grief, for there is a greater glory yet to come. For every mother in this room today, Lord, crown them with glory. Make their hearts to feel great. Give them peace. May their children gather around them today and encourage their hearts and let them know how much they mean. We may not all have been blessed with Proverbs 31 mothers, but Lord, we got a mother. Can't get here without one. And sure enough, Lord, we don't want to leave without loving on the one we have. Thank you for those mothers who stood in, stepped up, took the extra load off to help another. Thank you, Lord, for those whose wombs have never bore children, but have helped in the training and rearing of so many. Thank you for those who thought it not robbery to open their hearts to even the stranger. So, God, let this Mother's Day be a day that will change everything for the better. Where we have made our mistakes, where we have come short, God, now let us do better. Let us raise up and walk in the new courage that we have, the new confidence that we found. For this day has certainly, Lord, reminded us of all that we have. God bless your people. Deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory forever. And the redeemed of the Lord said, amen, amen, and amen. God bless you. Go enjoy your day. Have some fun. Laugh. Eat, drink, and be merry. Go in peace.